Nate Scott, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
You recently wrote about Brett Favre. There is a news story that came out of his home state of Mississippi. We are in his adoptive state of Wisconsin. Give us the broad strokes of the story just to get us set up here.
Basically, Brett Favre, over the last year and a half, has taken part in some charitable initiatives, one of which was for a new volleyball stadium for the University of Southern Mississippi, where his daughter is a member of the team, and then also a company that does concussion research. And they are a private medical company that Favre is an investor in. That's all well and good. What the issue here was that Favre, to fund these initiatives, leaned on an organization called the Mississippi Community Education Center, which is a nonprofit in Mississippi. And that nonprofit got its money from the state welfare fund. This was money that was earmarked, designated for welfare recipients, and somehow made its way into a volleyball stadium, as well as a concussion research protocol, on top of which it was later found out that Favre had received $1 million in state welfare money to make appearances, which he did not make. All in all, it kind of sums up a very strange relationship with the Mississippi Community Education Center, what this nonprofit's doing, how this money is getting from the welfare state welfare fund into these private initiatives of Brett Favre, and really a lot of questions about what exactly is going on down there.
Now, Brett Favre, after the story broke, swore up and down on Wisconsin ESPN that the allegations aren't true, that he's not paying the money back, but that he's paying out of good faith to the state welfare agency. But this does kind of seem to reveal something with regards to how his private interests and how his charitable interests seem to overlap with state of Mississippi interests.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Favre and his team have done a good job of framing this as kind of an oversight, basically. He was paid to make appearance fees. The appearances didn't happen. You know, he returned the money in good faith. But that was sort of the end of it for a lot of news coverage. You know, there was a bit of news coverage on the story, and it was, he received this money, did make the appearances, he's returning the money. And even according to, you know, the Mississippi State Auditor, it was, thank you, Mr. Favre, you have done what you needed to do. You are paying back this money. Pat on the back. Doesn't go into anything about how $5 million of the state welfare money ended up financing a volleyball stadium, or about how state welfare money went into a concussion research company. That is sort of the bigger story here that I think a lot of people are overlooking, because it's complex and because it's hard to sort of trace this money and where exactly it's supposed to go.
And it's in one of the poorest states in the country as well.
Exactly. You know, this is Mississippi Today did a wonderful job, which is an outlet, did a wonderful job of going into the state, meeting people who are on welfare, who are struggling to, you know, put food on the table. That they are not getting money that is earmarked for them, that taxpayers paid to you know, give to the state welfare fund, that is then getting put into a volleyball stadium is, you know, I don't want to use the word criminal because no charges are being pressed, but to me, at least from a morality standpoint, you know, that's not what that money was for. That's not what taxpayers paid for.
Now, Brett Favre did say that he did a series of, I believe it was radio or TV commercials, for that welfare agency or that kind of nonprofit subsidiary or beneficiary of the state welfare agency. Is there anything there about, like, charity and celebrity sports endorsements that still comes out of this story in a funny way to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so interesting about all of this is, on its surface, a new volleyball stadium for the students of University of Southern Mississippi is wonderful. They should have a good volleyball stadium. You know, it's a college sport that typically does not get a lot of money thrown at it. You know, most money in schools goes to the football program. It's great. Concussion research is something that we should be investing in. It is something, you know, these are good causes. And if I'm Brett Favre, I imagine in his mind, it's, why am I getting in trouble for supporting good causes that are important to me? For him, the bigger issue is that this nonprofit was really using the state welfare fund as a kind of benefactor piggy bank to sort of invest in the causes that they deemed worthy. That's not what that money's for. That you know, if they want to go and raise money to support causes they believe in, volleyball stadiums and concussion research, and use Brett Favre to help them fundraise, that's great. It's when you make a partnership with the state of Mississippi that you then are, you know, duty bound to serve the citizens of Mississippi, and not just the ones you deem worthy, the people who have applied for welfare and received it. You know, and when it comes to Favre, I think the danger here is, you know, by perhaps bringing on a very famous athlete endorser, you know, maybe this organization felt in a way duty bound to then support the causes that were important to him. But in doing so, you know, they neglected the people of the state of Mississippi.
Now, why do you think this issue was ignored, or after Favre said, I'm paying the state, end of story, his foundations weren't implicated in any criminal way, but why didn't this story stick?
It's complex.
He's a hero here in Wisconsin, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy for a lot of people. Favre, you know, honestly, even through all this, there is plausible deniability where Favre perhaps didn't fully understand where the Mississippi Community Education Center was getting its funding. If they just told him, yeah, we get funding from the state of Mississippi, and we want to invest in, you know, causes that you care deeply about, for him, great. Okay, you know, does he know that it comes from the state welfare budget? I'd argue that the onus should be on him to find out where the money's coming that's going into causes that he cares about and he's championing. You know, this isn't someone walking into a bank and pulling out a gun and robbing it or something. You know, that this is kind of murky. It's not as easy to follow. It's running through a celebrity endorsement of a separate nonprofit, which was using earmarked for public funds. So, you know, for sports journalists, and I'm one, and I love being a sports journalist, and I love my colleagues, and I love people who work in the field. But I think for a lot of sports journalists, you know, people who are doing drive time radio or people who are just looking to get a quick story, you know, looking at a guy getting paid over $1 million to make speaking appearances, which he didn't make. That's a story you can sink your teeth into. That's a story you can understand. That's a story you can get outraged about very easily. When Favre paid the money back, I think for a lot of people settled it. And then going into different parts of earmarked funds and now it's misappropriated, that is a little bit harder to, you know, sum up in a 2-minute drive time radio hit, as you can see by me blathering on about this for however long I have been going now.
It's only 10 minutes. So for public radio, it's not that long. Now I want to ask one more question, and that is, I feel like there's been somewhat of a new consciousness raised in America with all of the concussion research in professional football, college football, the way that unpaid students are treated to make a lot of money for their college programs. We see how colleges are depending on football and college sports now during the coronavirus lockdown. They're trying to reopen just to keep that money flowing. Does this situation or similar situations that have recently happened really bring attention to the intersection of kind of poverty, sports, and education? Or do you think American sports fans, football fans, will continue to just kind of take it in for what it is without really peeling back the curtain on this issue?
That's such the interesting thing about this story is, you know, of course, concussion research is important and should be funded. You know, tying it in with poverty, I mean, the stats are pretty much out there. It's, you know, the people who are putting themselves at risk to play football and make money, a lot of money for these colleges, tend to be poor, tend to be African-American, a lot are from the Deep South. You know, those are kind of college football recruiting, you know, hotbeds. This is where these athletes are coming from. And so it is all kind of tied together. Are people waking up to understand that? I don't know. You know, for me, I have seen more kind of traction. The NCAA has formed several kind of committees that are exploring the ideas of athletes being able to basically profit off their own likeness, where athletes would be able to make a deal with a t-shirt company. If they had their face printed on the t-shirt, they could make money off that, or they could do a commercial for a local car salesman and actually get paid for that, which was forever deemed illegal by the NCAA. You know, they wouldn't be paid, the school wouldn't be paying them, but basically allowing them to pursue revenue interests outside the sport. I think that will gain traction. And I think it's a good step in the right direction. But, you know, am I expecting stories like this or any sport or any stories for that matter to cause our country to have kind of a public reckoning with blood sport, with, you know, the perils of amateurism and the health risks that people take on by playing football? I don't think so.
That's very interesting. Well, fascinating to see how these issues overlap in this particular story. Thanks so much for joining us, Nate.
Of course.